This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Seduced by a smile, the politics of pretense. Let's pretend I'm what you want me to be. I am who I am, but who are you? So, I'll tell you what. Smile and cheer up, put on a happy face. Well, today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about what all that means, the politics of pretense or the politics of perdition. And I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. As we talk about this subject here today, we don't want to just talk about it from a traditional political viewpoint. What we're talking about here today is not just about D's and R's at the back of a person's name. It's not just about a political party. It's not just about a convention, a Democratic convention or a Republican convention or no convention. It's about our commitment to truth. Our commitment to truth. And if you can't be committed to truth, then where are you committed to? Maybe you could just put on a smile and seduce everyone to follow you like the Pied Piper over the cliff. Seduced by a smile. Well, it's been called the politics of joy. By many within the Democrat Party, the politics of joy. Smile, smile, smile. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Put on a happy face. Seduced by a smile. Well, you could be seduced by a wink. That's exactly right. You could be seduced by a wink. In the days of George W. Bush, I remember being there at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, the warmest possible audience he could have ever had to talk about his relationship with the Lord, his commitment to Jesus Christ, and how it guides his life. But he never did that. Not once. I was there. I listened. I watched. And what he used instead of talking about his commitment to Christ was a wink. A wink and a nod. He winked at the people as if that was supposed to communicate, I'm one of you, so trust me to be just like you because I'm here to stand for you and nothing more needs to be said because I gave you the wink. Today we're being seduced by a smile. Not a smile from the Republican Party, but a smile from the candidate for the presidency, now risen to predominance by the Democrat Party. Not the Democratic Party. It's not a Democratic Party. It's called the Democrat Party. Don't be confused. Don't be confused. In fact, in help you not to be confused, I want you to hear the words of a dyed-in-the-wool historic Democrat. His name is Robert F. K. Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr. Today, he dropped out of the race for the presidency, a consummate Democrat, a historical Democrat with a pedigree like no other, and endorsed Donald Trump. So why would he do that? Why would he do that? Does that not seem like a betrayal? Does that not seem like something strange coming out of, like an alien coming out of the sky? Robert F. K., Robert Kennedy Jr., endorsing a Republican Donald Trump, of all people? But that's what he did today. So why did he do that? That's what we want to find out. Why did he do that, and how does that relate to the politics of perdition that are taking place in the Democrat Party? Not to say at all that everything that goes on within the Republican Party is at all godly or holy. We're not talking about that at this moment. We're talking about what happened and what is happening in the Democrat Party. It is tantamount to the Pied Piper leading the people off the cliff, casting out promises as breadcrumbs to lead the unsuspecting, cheering on the way as they're headed to perdition. And here's what RFK had to say. The former Democrat with a party pedigree second to none, calling out the current leadership for actually working to disenfranchise voters. Did you hear that? Not democratize, not expand voter opportunities, but to disenfranchise voters. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., son of the assassinated Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, and nephew of the assassinated President John F. Kennedy, who cited the party's newest leftist ideology. He said, "I was raised in the Democrat Party. My father, Robert Kennedy, and my uncle, John Kennedy, at a time when the primary thrust of the Democrat Party in that era was to make sure every American could vote." He said, "There's a million people in this country who have signed petitions trying to get me on the ballot, 145,000 at least in New York State. They want to see me on the ballot. So why is the Democrat Party trying to disenfranchise those people?" He said, "I don't think my father would recognize this party, and I don't think my uncle would recognize this party." And commentators also were not kind to Democrats. He went on to say the Party of Democracy removed their candidate via a coup, installed a nominee with a single vote, is trying to imprison their main political opponent and keep any other potentially viable alternatives off the ballot. And you call that democracy? The Democrats, he said, are an anti-Democrat party. They hate everything this country stands for. His campaign press secretary said an announcement would be about the present historical moment and his path forward. What was that announcement? He's removing himself from candidacy for president and endorsing Donald J. Trump. Now let that resonate for a bit. Is the Democrat Party what they say they are? What they pretend to be? What the convention proposed that they really were? What Kamala Harris actually said while putting on a happy face perpetually, almost as if it's pasted on? It's deception by smile, my friends. Deception by smile, and deception by any other name would smell the same, just like a rose. It's leading America to perdition. So we call this program today the Politics of Perdition. In fact, it goes even further than that. It's like godlessness. Gleeful godlessness. The less God, the more gleeful. The less biblically oriented, the more gleeful. The more to celebrate. Just put on a happy face. Put on a smile and cheer up. Put on a happy face, said the song. Apparently, that's the gospel of Kamala Harris today, and wants you to believe it. Question is, do you or will you? And what would be the consequences if you did? We'll be right back. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint as we talk about the politics of deception, the politics of pretense, the politics of perdition here today on Viewpoint. It's not a game. Not a game at all, my friends. It's deadly serious. In fact, for many, it could be eternally serious, not because one's politics in particular consign them to damnation, but it depends on how you embrace those politics and for what reason. Because if you align yourself with that which is profoundly ungodly at every turn, and that God himself is mocked openly and excluded from every conversation, then your alignment with that message is concluding and conclusive that that's exactly who you are. Because you would not align yourself with those with whom you had complete and total disagreement, would you? Now, you might have some disagreement, for instance, in the realm of politics. People have all kinds of viewpoints, even within the Republican Party, within the Democrat Party. People have all kinds of different viewpoints, and they don't certainly agree on everything. In fact, if you're married, you don't agree with everything with her concerning your spouse, do you? No, and that's why sometimes you get into disagreements. So you'd have to resolve those. But if those disagreements are so fundamental as to indicate that you're in opposition to the God of the Bible and his precepts, you got a problem. And that's why we're told not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, in the realm of politics, there are going to be unbelievers and disbelievers and believers of all sorts and so on. They're going to gather together for particular reasons. But if the reasons why you're gathering together and uniting together are almost 100% or 90% contrary to the word, will, and the way of the Lord, you got a real problem. Because you now are identifying with them and supporting them. And here's what the Apostle Paul said about that in Romans chapter 1. He was talking about people that, knowing God, refused to glorify and honor him as God, and therefore their foolish minds and hearts become darkened, and they give themselves over to a variety of different perverse practices, including, as he listed there, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all of the permutations and consequences, LGBTQ and all that kind of stuff that follows every perversion under the sun, contrary to the word, will, and the ways of God, notwithstanding the fact that you may want to at least be kind to such people. It's a different thing from being kind to somebody and approving what they do. Far different. So, the Apostle Paul said this at the conclusion of Romans chapter 1. He said, those who support such people who are acting out these things that are contrary to the word, will, and the way of God are as culpable before God for eternal justice as the ones who are doing it. Are you listening? This is not a game. It may involve also your eternal security. No matter what your doctrine is about eternal security, you cannot thumb your nose in the face of the God of the Bible by adopting and coordinating yourself with a group of people that almost entirely in their platform, in their presentations, in the things that they are promoting, are in radical opposition to the God of the Bible. You can't do it. Yes, you will have to make a choice between either, however you want to frame it, the better of two goods or the worse, or the better of two evils. You're going to have to make a choice because none of us is perfect, including you, including your pastor, including yours truly. We have to make choices, and we have to have discernment. And that's why deception is so critical, because it reveals that we don't have discernment. If you do not have discernment, you will be deceived. If you do not discern the seduction behind the smile, you will be deceived and are being deceived. Let me give you an illustration. An article came out by Samuel Say on Christian Post called Evangelicals for Harris, Evangelicals for Satan. The Evangelicals for Harris campaign is a contradiction in terms, he says. Evangelicals for Harris is an absurd, is just as absurd as Jews for Pharaoh, Christians for Emperor Nero, or evangelicals for Satan. There's no such thing as evangelicals for Harris. If you're voting for Kamala Harris, you are not an evangelical, by definition. Earlier this week, Evangelicals for Harris held a Zoom meeting hosted by an anti-white and pro-abortion public theologian who said, let's be honest, evangelical really means white Christians. So, she said, I've never considered myself an evangelical, so then why is it, since she's holding this Zoom meeting, Evangelicals for Harris? Why would a person who doesn't consider herself an evangelical host a meeting for a campaign called Evangelicals for Harris? It's deceptive on its face. Leftists know the best way to lure evangelical voters away from conservatism is to find evangelical voters and leaders who will frame leftist policies as biblical precepts. And that's what's happening. This is the reason why the granddaughter of Dr. Billy Graham has been leading the pack of so-called evangelicals for Harris. She's not embracing the gospel of the evangelical gospel of the absolute truth of God's word, will, and ways. She's embracing the liberal retranslation of that so as to lure the majority of people through their feelings into embracing in the name of Christ that which Christ hates. This is why Evangelicals for Harris exists. This is why they are encouraging people who hate evangelicalism to pose as evangelicals. They know the best way to deceive evangelicals is to present ungodly people as one of their own. And unfortunately, believe it or not, that's exactly what evangelical leaders did in the age of George W. Bush, as I related, confirmed by how he treated them and what he did at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, the gathering of the most prominent evangelical biblical leaders, not only in America, but in the world. And not once did he ever claim to be a born-again Christian. Not once did he ever claim to be an evangelical. Not once did he ever want to clearly express his relationship with the Lord to the warmest possible audience on the planet. He just winked at them. A wink and a smile, friends, that's all it takes today. And so evangelicals piled on and claimed him as one of their own. Was he? Well, after 9/11, remember what happens? Within 2 weeks, George W. Bush, the same George W. Bush, declared that Jews, Muslims, and Christians all worship the same God. Even though Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man will come to the Father but by me. Within a few weeks later, he declared, and all religions worship the same God. Really? He didn't even understand the most elementary, fundamental thing about what it meant to be a Christian. Didn't. Just didn't. And now we have, over the past 8 years or so, the record concerning our young people who claim to be Christians in Christ, and only 20% of them believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Why is it that they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life? 80% of them do not. Why? Because they have adopted the insular ways, the way of the culture that has insinuated itself through a variety of means into their minds and into their hearts so that they will believe a lie. Are they even Christians? That's for God to determine, but it sure doesn't sound like it, because they are not trusting Jesus as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. They think there are many ways to God and to heaven. You see, all of these things actually tie together. The politics of perdition are the politics of pretense. In other words, we pretend that something is not really what it is, but we want to pretend that it is what people want it to be in order to seduce them into the camp. God says, in response to Moses, when Moses said, "Who should I tell the people that you are?" God said, "I am that I am." So who does Kamala Harris say that she is? She won't tell you. She's a walking pretense, as some have said, a walking chameleon. She pretends to be something different depending on which audience she's in front of. That's the headline that came from the World Tribune. Breitbart Politics editor Emma Jo Morris noted a couple of weeks ago, was Kamala Harris ever out there in these streets as she claims? Actually, Morris wrote, the Democrat presidential candidate was not out there, like she even testified last night in her delivery, accepting the challenge of the Democrat Party as their representation for president. Actually, Morris wrote, the Democrat presidential candidate was not ever out there in the streets, as she claimed. And Morris knows. Why? Because she said, I grew up on the exact same street she grew up on. She lived down the street from where I went to school. During the seldom discussed childhood and adolescence, she actually spent living an upper-class enclave in Montreal, Canada. When Harris was 12, she left Berkeley, California, after her mother got hired to work with McGill University in Montreal. As in Montreal, in that city, Kamala Harris grew up in the most upscale neighborhood, which, at the time she lived there, was not only the nicest neighborhood in all Montreal, but was the richest one in all of Canada, far from the struggle of the streets Harris now purports to have been down with, wrote Morris. The politics of pretense. So if she wants to identify as a street person, you should believe her, notwithstanding the truth to the contrary. Why does she want to put on the pretense? Because she thinks that by laying down another breadcrumb on the road to political and spiritual perdition, she can seduce yet another unsuspecting person to trust her. Are you listening today? Do you live a life of pretense? You see, it's not just the Kamala Harris's of the world. Everybody is prone to live a life of pretense in some way or another, to pretend to be something other than what they're not. How many people go to church on Sunday or whenever, and what they're really doing, they're not committed to Christ particularly, they're committed to use the church as their social club. Or they're committed to use the church gathering as a way to, shall we say, encourage an attitude, an affirmation for increasing their business, you know, making contacts and so on. In other words, they're living a pretense of a life, a pretense of Christianity. That's one of the biggest problems that we have in the church today. How about pastors, for instance, that are engaged and just this week again, yet another pastor has been fired from a mega church because of moral failure. So what is it that these pastors are doing? They're living a life of pretense. It's pretense. You say, well, nobody is perfect. That's absolutely true. If we will confess our sin and come clean, come out in the open and come clean, God is able to forgive and willing to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're not, if we continue to live the life of pretense, it ain't going to be pleasant on Judgment Day. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
The truth about deception includes many things, including that it's very destructive and Satan wants to destroy you. And he'll destroy you through a variety of different deceptions. Whatever it takes to lure you, even if it be a smile, a perpetual smile with a political face behind it, he'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes. Satan wants to destroy you. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's exactly why he came. Satan is extremely clever. He seems cool. He's calculating. His weapons are carnal or fleshly, but ours are not. So Satan plays upon our weaknesses in the flesh. He always seeks to use the flesh and carnal desires against God's creation so to get back at God. So, unfortunately, as human beings, we're too often willing to be pawns in this cosmic struggle. The real issue in all deception is God's authority. And Kamala Harris defies all godly authority, as does the Democrat Party. There's not one shred of evidence that the Democrat Party, as currently presented to our country, has even a whit of acknowledgement of God's authority, either in America or on the planet, or in any of their lives. Not one. They run from that issue, that idea, like a snake runs from your footstep. It's like a deer runs from your presence. It's patently obvious what's happening. An article from the Christian Post says how Kamala Harris's coyness raises many unsettling questions. So here we have several terms that have been used in the media to describe what they're seeing with regard to the public persona of Kamala Harris. That she isn't who she wants people to believe that she is. She's something else. She's desperately trying to create an image of herself that will seduce the widest possible number of people while hiding who she really is. That's why she doesn't want to come out and do a press conference. She resists it like the plague. Why? Because it might reveal who she really is. And they can't afford to have that happen. They want to hide that until she's elected, and then all hell will come forth. Because Satan and his minions will always bring out that which he stands for when they come into authority or power. See, the issue really is authority. It really is. And when we talk about authority, we have to decide who is going to be the authority in my life. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be the culture? Is it going to be my political allegiances and so on? Is it going to be money? Is it going to be working out to develop a physical image? Is it going to be whatever it is? A lot of things can become the authority in our lives. And Satan will use any or all of it because he's very deceptive. He's very clever, but he's also a rebel. And he deceives by defying divine authority. Remember, Satan was the greatest, the most glorious of all created beings. The Bible says he was full of wisdom and perfect beauty. He was the deceiver, but he was the anointed cherub that covereth, set by God himself. He was upon the holy mountain of God. He walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire in heaven. God declared, you are perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. So just imagine Lucifer's glory next to the very creator of the universe, but he was not satisfied. He coveted God's authority. He set his heart as if the heart of God, and that defiled his brightness, and because of that, he was brought and will be brought to the pit. So what was the driving issue between Lucifer and his creator? It was authority. Who is and will be authority in heaven? Isaiah went right to the heart of it. He said, for this you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So I guess the eyes have it, huh? Five times Lucifer exalted himself to be equal with God. So, how might Satan accomplish his goal to gain authority in the earth, where God created humankind in his image? In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. Well, the Democrat Party says not so fast. No, we believe that male and female are not separate, and we declare that there's no scientific proof that declares that male and female, men and women cannot be totally equal, which causes them to actually utterly ignore the very testimony of their eyes. But that doesn't matter as long as it accomplishes my goal. So, how might Satan accomplish his nefarious goal? Well, he would seduce the maximum number of Earth's men and women to join his rebellion. Remember, his rebellion, though, is based upon God's authority. So, look at what's happening in our country and all over the world. Growing arrogance to defy God and to deify man. In other words, to give human beings ultimate authority over God himself. Sometimes it comes in the name of science. Sometimes it comes in the name of politics. Sometimes it comes in the name of Christ himself. It's unbelievable. And Satan's seduction is most directed to those who profess to be believers, true believers. They have to be seduced. And the master deceiver knows he can't win over professing followers of Christ by leading a direct, frontal, in-your-face rebellion against God. He has to do it gradually, incrementally, and deceptively, but no less deadly. And that's what he did in the garden. He didn't go after Adam. Remember? Satan did not go after Adam. He went after Eve. Why? Because he knew that she was the more feeling-oriented creature. Much more than Adam. She was created that way, as a nurturer and so on. And so he went after her purposely. And it began earthly insurrection against God's authority. He induced, yes, seduced her to differ from what God had said, and thereby the rest of the story is what we know as the fall of humankind and sin in the earth, including what you and I battle with. Now, this is what's happening on steroids, friends, in the Democrat Party. What we saw in the last 4 days, and particularly at the end of their convention last night, with the final address by Kamala Harris, I guess you could use the term that the Christian Post used, how Kamala Harris's coyness raises many unsettling questions. Whether you want to call it a chameleon, a deceiver, a pretense, one who's living a pretense, coyness. Who would ever forget Joe Biden hiding in the basement during the 2020 presidential campaign? And now his vice president seems to be operating from the same playbook as she sets her sights on the presidency. Why is Kamala Harris being so coy? What is she afraid of revealing about herself? The Cambridge Dictionary defines coyness as behavior in which someone intentionally tries to keep something secret. So why all the secrecy in the Harris campaign? Harris seems afraid to admit her views on a variety of issues. Will she pursue her previous policies if she wins the presidential election? Does this cagey candidate lack certain... See, there's another word, cagey. So we've got coyness, we've got cagey. What other words could we possibly use? Lying? Cagey? Chameleon? Deceptive? If Harris changes some of her positions in order to help her election chances, should we take her at her word, or should we assume she's lying? The less she's willing to discuss her views, the more likely it is she's not telling us the truth. Truth and clarity ultimately defeat lies and secrecy, because the truth eventually comes out either in this life or in the world to come. As Jesus said, there is nothing hidden that's not going to be disclosed or come to light, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open or shouted from the housetops. Here's the problem, friends. Can you afford to be wrong when the evidence before you is so blatant as to the intentional deception, seduction through a smile? That's the question. Do you not think that's an important question? What all? Is it just a matter of a candidate? No. It's a matter of everyone behind the candidate. It's a matter of those that are actually controlling the candidate from behind. The puppet stringer, the ones that are running the puppet strings to keep them going like they did with Biden. Are you prepared to handle the aftermath of such an election?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The Mercy Culture Church in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, doubled down. The pastor said, "You're not a Christian if you vote Democrat." Now, how could he possibly say something like that? Historically, I would never have been prone to make such a statement, because there were within a range of views, there were within the Democrat Party views that one could reasonably construe to be Christian-oriented, supported by Christ. But not much today. Things have changed dramatically. That's why Robert F. Kennedy just endorsed Donald Trump. He says, this party is a deceiver. They're not interested in democracy. They want to destroy democracy. They want to destroy the country. Now, that's a pretty sharp distinction from someone whose entire life and history has been in the Democrat Party. He said it ain't what it used to be, and it's not what it pretends to be today. It's off the rails. Way off the rails. So, is this pastor there in Dallas-Fort Worth, is he right? You can't be a Christian if you vote for a Democrat? Well, I suppose you could say it depends on what Democrat. But the problem is that they're all aligning with one thing. They're all aligning with a particular culture, with a particular set of views, and those views are almost 100% contrary to the express views in the Bible. God's views of life, of practice, of sexuality, of the family, of money, of the purpose of government, almost all 100% contrary to biblical authority. So, what say you? What are you going to do? How are you going to act on Political Judgment Day? Political Judgment Day is the day of election. What is it, November 5th? Or whenever you choose to vote. What are you going to do on Political Judgment Day? What you do is going to be a reflection of what you really believe and what group, what people you really associate with. Do you associate with those who embrace the antagonism, the open antagonism against God's authority for life and practice in almost every single area of life? Or do you align with a people who still maintain in large measure what we might call the general fear of the Lord, and in general are seeking to adhere to those basic principles for life and practice? However inconsistent they may be, what's happening in the Democrat Party is not inconsistency, it's rebellion. It's direct and open defiance. That's the reason why Barack Obama, when he was running, when he was speaking, he wanted to cover up an image behind him of Jesus. Did you know that? This is the reason why the Democrat Party and Democrats throughout the country over 20 times called him the Messiah. Did you know that? They weren't interested in the Messiah. They were interested in a counterfeit Messiah, because they didn't want to submit to the Messiah. That would destroy their party. And why did they have warfare, open warfare, about even including the name of God on their platform back in, what was it, 2012? Why? It's because of this rising spirit of rebellion against everything godly, just like in the French Revolution. And what happened when the Jacobins got control? The heads began to roll. And if you think, friends, that you've seen persecution so far in this country against Christians, you ain't seen nothing until Kamala Harris and Tim Walz gained dominion. They are a collective duo who despises God's authority in life and practice. Also, even as RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., declared, they're not interested in democracy. They want to destroy real democracy in order to gain unfettered, irresistible power. And that's why they keep accusing Donald Trump or Republicans of being haters of democracy. They're accusing them of the very thing that they are trying to do. And RFK saw right through it. Can you imagine Robert F. Kennedy or John Fitzgerald Kennedy endorsing Donald Trump instead of the Democrat Party and candidate? But they just did. Through the grandson, or the nephew and the son, RFK Jr. By proxy, they just did. The deception is so great that it's palpable. Whether you want to call it deception by smile, a political pack of lies, leading America to perdition, gleeful godlessness, Satan with a smile, or just put on a happy face and deceive yourself and everyone else. We're looking at something very profound, friends. And there are two effective ways to mask defiance of God's authority. I can deny the truth of what's written, or I can distort the truth of what's written. There are two sides to the same coin. And it's the currency that you can bank on in the deceiver's system of deceptive seduction, which is in practice on steroids right in front of our eyes. Now, to help you understand, help us all understand a little bit better the nature of seduction, how it works, how dangerous it is, how easy it is for us to be deceived. If it were not easy for us to be deceived, neither Jesus nor the Apostle Paul nor the Apostle John nor the Apostle James would have warned us about it. They all did, in one way or another. That's why I wrote the book, Seduction of the Saints. How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. The first three chapters alone help us to understand the truth about deception. Oh, let me tell you, friends, you'll have your heart, a little surgery done in your heart when you begin to see how deception works. And it's very personal. And deception dominates in these end times. It's deception because it's deceptive. And if it weren't deceptive, we wouldn't be warned about it. It's very deceptive. It can come in first on little cat feet, and then when it first comes in like the fog, all of a sudden it surrounds you and you can't see straight. And deception determines destiny. It always does. So, get a copy of the book. It's an $18 book. Yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, Seduction of the Saints. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $6 for postage and handling, and we'll get the book in your hands. And I do not believe you're going to be disappointed. One party got back to me and said, Chuck, as far as I'm concerned, this is the most important book I've ever read other than the Bible. I said, why do you say that? He said, it's because it's so relevant, so applicable, so biblical. It helps to make the Bible come alive. You know, God yearns for us as his children to submit our wills to his will. without denial or without rationalization or without manipulation or spin. And when we do that, we're blessed. But when we play the deceiver's game for whatever reason, we're easily seduced and jeopardize life in his spirit. And we can be seduced through politics. Now, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men, said the psalmist. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in powers, in potentates, in popes, in pastors, and in politicians. There's only one place we are supposed to put our trust, and that's in the Lord and in his word. Period. Anything else becomes idolatry. So, let's be plain about it. Even though the message today is the satanic deception that's coming through a smile. One way of putting it, the politics of pretense that are coming through the Democrat Party in their radical, radical departure from anything previously known as what that party represented. It's anti-God to the heart. But that's not the ultimate issue. No, you can't trust that. No, you can't put absolute trust in the Republican Party. No, you can't put absolute trust in Donald J. Trump. Do I happen to believe at this time that he's probably the best one to at least put into that office? Yes. Do I put absolute trust there? No. My wife and just and I had a conversation of that last night. No. We don't trust Donald J. Trump. We don't trust anyone other than God and his word. Now, do we want to put a modicum of trust in people to do the right thing? Yes. Do we want to put absolute trust in somebody? No, because they're human beings. I don't want you to put absolute trust in me. I want you to be able to trust me as far as you can trust any human being, but I want you to go and confirm everything that is said, the spirit of what is said, the words of what are said, the authority of what is said. I want you to go to the Word of God, not just your particular verse that you like. That's a pretense. But the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the truth that we are to follow. Not just your favorite denominationally oriented verses. That's pretense, and that's hypocrisy. That itself is idolatry. To uplift and celebrate a denomination or a particular pastor or so on over what God has said, come on. You see, we got the same problem in the church. It's not just in the word of politics, world of politics, it's in the church. Why is it so many pastors won't tell the whole truth? Why is it they'll only preach the things that they think that people will like to hear? It's because they have an agenda. Just like the politicians. Build the congregation. Get the monies flowing. It's the same story all over again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, my friend. Lean not to your own understanding or your party's understanding or any other understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Get a copy of Seduction of the Saints, $15 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 postage and handling. You're not going to be disappointed. It will help to anchor you in times like these. God bless, and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.